The Quaid Things podcast is brought to you by Shake Music Zine. Get your copy at shakemusiczine.com.
And welcome to another motherfucking episode of the Quaid Things podcast. A little switch up of location today. I'm back in Stephenville. Yeah, I know, fucking crazy, but I'm glad to be here. My guest this week, one of my favorite humans on the entire fucking planet, the closest thing to blood I have that isn't blood, my man, John Young. What's cracking?
How's it going?
Dude, it's going well. I was over at the Twist earlier today, the Twisted J, and I was doing a little bit of yard work over there, getting some shit done, headed back to Lubbock to handle some scandals.
All right.
For a week or so.
Well, that's where they happen, right?
Yeah. No fucking shit, man. But dude, super glad you're on the podcast, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Of course, we're in your new house.
Yes.
You know, you used to live literally just up the fucking road.
Yep.
About a block and a half-ish from here.
Small town-ish.
Yeah. Dude, this place is great, man. I think it's awesome.
We enjoyed a lot. It's been a huge upgrade.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that the floors don't creak as much.
And yeah, true.
So right on. But you were just telling me, I came over last night and we hung out for a minute and watched a little TV. You were telling me that you put a whole new band together.
I did, yeah. I've got a whole new group now. As of about February of this year is when I found these guys.
Right on.
They're all local Tarleton students and they do a really good job. We've had some good times so far.
Yeah, we were talking last night, and you were saying that it's good to have some hungry people back in your camp.
Yeah, totally. It really, it especially besides being hungry, just they are really excited about it, you know, and they're enjoying it, and I get to see it through their eyes, you know, enjoyment wise. It's fantastic.
Heck yeah, man. Where have you been playing recently, man?
We've been playing all over. We played down in Port Aransas this last weekend. We were in Austin a couple of weeks ago. Just been traveling here and there. We've got a show in outside of Lubbock coming up. Some fans of ours, it's going to be at their little place out on a cotton farm out by Ropesville.
What? Okay, so tell me about this.
Well, we're doing a private show for the Hicklins. I don't know if you've ever met them. They were huge fans of West Texas Live.
Yes, I know exactly who the fuck you're talking about.
They come every week, and so they're throwing a little soiree September 15th out there at their place.
That's awesome. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I haven't seen them in forever. Of course, I hadn't been back to Lubbock in almost 2 months, but
woo.
I know.
Man, that's a long time to be away.
For me, yeah. It's been a minute.
I haven't been out there in a while either, honestly.
You know, everybody's like, oh, you're just going to wind up back in Lubbock. Because, you know, I moved to Fort Worth recently, and everybody's like, well, you're just going to wind up back in Lubbock. And, you know, I'm really not mad about it if it winds up happening. Lubbock has that boomerang effect, you know. You launch off really fucking fast and you're spinning everywhere and life is good and then you just spin right back.
Yeah, you know? It's an interesting scene for sure.
Yeah, it is for sure. So, you know, your folks own a plumbing company here in town, mm-hmm. and you did all that plumbing stuff for like eternity.
Yeah, for a very long time.
But you and I were talking, I mean, well, for those of you who don't, I mean, John have been friends for years, but you started playing music pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, no pun intended.
Right. Yeah. No, I started off pretty young. I started playing music when I was about 7 or 8. It's when I was involved with a little singing group that my mom kind of put together, and we used to go and play at nursing homes and things. And then I picked up the guitar at 14 and never looked back. And it was always kind of – and I had piano lessons somewhere around 8 or 9.
Right on.
I was in band all the way through junior high and high school, which I think that gave me a lot of the music foundation, you know, like the – theory part of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's been very helpful.
What'd you play in band?
I started off on trombone and then I got switched over to tuba.
Tuba.
Yep. They didn't have enough tubas, so.
Kind of carry that low end, right?
Yeah, I was big and they said, okay, why don't you play the tuba?
Why not?
I enjoyed both. They were both fun instruments.
I played alto sax when I was in band. I only did it for like a year. That's all the school I grew up in required, which is great. We had a guitar class. I really wish I would have done that as a kid. You know, I didn't start taking, or not taking guitar lessons. I started learning to play guitar until I was about 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And I still don't. I'm still not a guitar player. I tell everybody all the time, like, oh, well, you're a musician, right? No, I'm not a musician. I can play a couple of instruments. That does not, or I can make a few instruments make noise. That does not make me a musician or a guitarist or anything like that. But so you said that the band helped you get through theory and everything, man. So you went from pretty much playing the tuba to playing rock and roll off the bat, right?
Yeah, right off the bat. In fact, I started my first rock band in somewhere around 1996, 97. So I would have been a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. And just from there, I went through two different bands and then stayed with one rock band for about 6 years.
What were they called? Do you remember?
Yeah. The very first one was called Burnout. And it was like you would imagine. It was just a rock band.
Heck yeah.
Played a lot of Nirvana songs and Green Day and all sorts of stuff like that. We'd write originals, but they were just kind of usually just other songs we arranged.
Right.
Every band goes through that. It was really funny. Me and Ronnie Eaton figured out that we graduated the same year, and we started talking about our high school experience one night. And he had a real crappy band, and we were telling him, it's like, if we had just lived in the same town, it might have been in each other's crappy rock band.
That would have been cool.
It would have, yeah.
Yeah. Poor Ronnie Eaton. I owe that dude. I still owe that dude like 3 or 4 Gatorades at least. We went to... they're at Buffalo Springs Lake in Lubbock. They had this like lake day or some shit like that. But I was out there with the radio station I used to work for, and was doing, like promo shit out there or whatever. But they're like these floating, like tricycles, essentially like 2-seated tricycles.
Oh, wow.
And the whole deal was like, you had to go out around this buoy and come back. And I didn't want to do it alone. Number one, I smoke almost 2 packs a day. So yeah. My stamina shit. But poor Ronnie, he was standing there, and I was like, hey man, why don't you do this with me? He's like, all right, fine, man. Sounds good. Let's do this. And, so I get on this tricycle with him, and we get out there and we go to start turning, and this son of a bitch will not turn. I had to go all the way to the other side of the lake. And then I had to like step off and like turn the thing around. And finally Ronnie was just like, I'm done. You are pedaling this. Like, I'm not doing shit. And he like sat in style in there, and I got us all the way back across the lake. But he was like, dude, you owe me so many electrolytes after this. If I start cramping.
That is hilarious.
So we still laugh about it. Of course, he's in New York now.
Yeah.
Loving it up there from what I've seen on social media. I hadn't texted him or anything in a couple of weeks. So I ought to.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I need to text him too. I love Ronnie. He's a good guy.
He is, man. He is. Jim Dixon, too. We were talking about him last night. I hadn't seen him in a hot minute. I'm hoping I'll see him. He lives out by where I'm going to be staying over the next couple of days while I'm out in Lubbock. I'll probably swing by and bring him a sandwich or something.
Awesome. I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
Heck yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a great dude. And same with his dogs, or the same with your dogs. They love me.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is great. I love it when people's dogs like me, because it's like, see, I told you I'm a decent guy.
Dogs are really good judge of character, you know? Mm-hmm.
They are, for sure.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. Of course, I know the answer to this. Some of you people that have not seen John Young, the rest of you have, he's kind of got like a trademark necklace like I do, but his is awesome because his has got the feather on it and the wooden beads. Like, what's the story behind this? You told me a couple of years, about a year and a half ago, I guess, but yeah. I've gotten drunk and forgot.
So the original necklace came from just outside of Taos, mm-hmm. New Mexico, a little, it was called, is it Rio Grande Gorge?
Yeah.
There's a bridge across it, and they have some little booth set up. So I bought the original necklace from a couple of Native Americans that were set up selling stuff. And it's a bone feather. The original beads were like black stone. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I really enjoy it. I like that necklace, and I wore it a lot like that. Well, I had a buddy that was kind of going through a rough time in his life, and for some reason, I used to do this a lot. I'd kind of give him something of mine just kind of for good luck. You know, and I ended up giving him my necklace. And so the next time I saw him was probably about a year later, and he comes back and he's got this whole brand new looking necklace. And I'm like, what on earth happened? And he was in an HEB, and his daughter reached out and grabbed all of the feather and just ripped it off his neck.
Oh.
So all the beads and everything just went everywhere.
Yeah, so you don't recover them.
No.
Not all of them.
So what he did is he took his favorite necklace that was just at his house, and took the wooden beads off of that one, mm-hmm. and then he restrung it for me and gave it back to me as the necklace that I've got. But it's had 3 different versions of it, and I have to, just because it is a rope necklace, mm-hmm. I have to restring it. So I make my own, I braid my own, it's hemp rope,
okay.
and just make the necklace out of it each time and just put it back together.
Right on.
But it's my good luck charm, and I wear it all the time.
Dude, that's what's up. You were talking about giving things to people. Last year, mm-hmm. I was going through some shit. And you and your wife, Kim, helped me through. So I don't even have the fucking words, man. You guys helped put me back together.
Yeah,
you know
totally.
What I mean? Y'all are some of the greatest people ever. But you gave me a golden, or it's not really gold, but a gold-colored...
Brass.
Yeah, brass Zippo.
Yep.
And I've still got it, actually. Awesome. It's in my car right now. Hell so yeah. I don't use it, but that's why I still have it, is because I don't use the damn thing. Because I would lose it if I used it.
Yeah.
It's not true what they say, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. No, if I use shit, I lose it everywhere.
Right. So, well, I'm glad you still have it. Yeah.
No, I am too, man. Like, I keep it in my, or where my cup holder should be. When I bought this car, it didn't have a cup holder in it, so it's kind of my catch-all. But I keep it in there right next to a rattlesnake rattle I've had forever. Wow. And those are, it's kind of like my good juju yeah. box, if you will.
Totally. Yeah. That, I'm real particular about, you know, specific memories tied to little objects. And mm-hmm. I really enjoy getting to share that with someone and, you know, had it mean something to both of us.
Yeah.
It's that's the only form of time travel that really exists, in my opinion. It's, you can really like relive a moment just by holding something. You can just remember exactly where you were and everything about it. You know, it kind of is tied to your subconscious, whether you realize it or not. So like each one of those is a little
hunk of time.
Yeah. It's a blip on the time map. You know, I can look back and I can remember the moment when I got that lighter from a pawn shop originally, and I carried it probably for, I want to say like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a little special place, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I consider that like, it's like stuff that you use on a day-to-day basis. It kind of works with you, and you have to learn to work with it.
Right. So, for a perfect example is a lighter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things that like, yeah, well, like you said, it works with you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and it's something to be said about a lighter that you kind of have to maintain. You have to take a second and always be aware of it. And if it needs fluid, put fluid in it. If it needs a flint, put a flint in it.
Mm-hmm.
I like all that. It's just something a little bit extra to just kind of, and it's just interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, and you've got the new, or the album, Relic is still the current album, correct?
Yes.
Dude, and you shot, didn't you do that video shoot just not very far from, or the album cover. Wasn't it not very far from here, that junkyard?
That was in just north of Abilene, in a little town. It's right next to a little town called Anson. It's
okay.
called FM 600 Wrecking.
Okay.
And it was a really strange deal. I had that concept for that record for a while, what I wanted it to be. And I knew the shot that I was looking for, and it was a sea of cars.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to look like literally an ocean of cars just sitting there rotting away. And so me and Kim, my wife, were on a trip back from a wedding that I had played in a little town called Stamford.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out of that town on a real funky road, ended up back roading, you know, north of Abilene, which is, there's not a whole lot out there.
No, there's a lot of back roads, though.
There's a lot of back roads. Yeah, so we were following the GPS, but more or less we were just driving, you know, and it was taking us down some very odd roads. Well, we were coming along, and all at once we crested this hill, came up on top of this hill, and all of a sudden I look over to my right, and there's a sea of cars. And I was like, oh, my God, that's it. And I had already told her what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that is it. So we stopped. We got the number off the place and just called and arranged a meeting for us to come out there. And, in fact, I think we went that day. I think we went that day and went and looked around first. But we actually went and looked through that whole junkyard just to kind of scout out if it was going to have any potential. And we found 5 spots that we wanted to take pictures.
Hell yeah.
And so what we did is we just hired our photographer, brought him back out with a ladder and a pickup truck, and we just drove around that rattlesnake-infested junkyard and took pictures all over it.
I was going to ask about the snakes, man, because that's a pretty good snake too.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah, there's a big sign on the gate when you come in that says, beware of rattlesnakes. And my photographer is this, he's an awesome dude. He's very intense about getting a really just good shot. And his name is Zach. And Zach had me go and sit in several of the cars and then take pictures through the windows.
Yeah.
Because he wanted the silhouette and he wanted, and in fact, the back cover of my record has one of those pictures. And it's, you don't see my face until you really know what you're looking at. And then you look right at it and it's like, oh, John's on the back. But when I was crawling into those cars, all I could think about was that stupid rattlesnake sounding at the front. Mm-hmm. And we had taken a show and a shovel and a hoe. And so I had that shovel, and I would just open up the car door and just kind of rattle around on the floor. Yeah. Some of these floors were dirt. They had been sitting there so long that the car had, like, become part of the ground. It was insane.
It's fucking cool, though.
Oh, it was amazing. It was kind of like, it was a wonderful, just glorious, sad thing, you know, because you're like, oh, wow, look at that. It's a Corvette. Wow, it's totaled.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, there's no coming back from where it
no.
is.
No, yeah, and then you see some of these old cars, and it's like the old 40s cars, and there's just so much time went into making each one of these vehicles, and that's what the whole album was about. Relic is about that, the feeling right there of standing and looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of work time mm-hmm. that these men put into building these cars. That men and women, people, they devoted their whole lives to building these cars. And here they sit, just out, an ocean of them. I mean, just as far as you can see. And that's the whole idea of Relic. It's out with the old and in with the new.
Heck yeah.
Make way for the Relic. Or make way for the Chosen, save a Relic or two. Yeah.
How long do you think till we're Relics?
I already feel that way.
Oh, come on now.
I can't use Twitter. I've tried.
I shouldn't. Like you know, I do pretty good about not, like Drunk Quaid is pretty good about staying off of Instagram and Facebook and, like, not saying some dumb shit. Drunk Quaid's pretty good at that. Drunk Quaid just thinks Twitter is a platform
right.
for his shenanigans. And it gets bad sometimes. It gets, well, not like bad. I don't say anything that I don't delete. I don't delete any of it. But
Twitter is a young man's game. It's a young person's game, honestly.
But I should be using it for the podcast.
Agreed.
But then Drunk Quaid's like, you should see this girl I saw in the fucking gas station last night. Her jeans are so bad, I made it look like her pussy went up to her belly button. Shit like that. Like,
well, and see, that's where I always have problems is because I want to say what's on my mind.
Yeah, and they ask you, what's on your mind?
Yeah, and then it comes out and it's like, man, I sound like a dickhead. I'm just sitting here griping about stupid shit. That's all I use Twitter for is I feel like the old person that's just calling in the hotline every couple of days. It's just like, hey, there were kids on my lawn yesterday. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Right. Trash guy was 10 minutes late.
Yeah, trash guy was 10 minutes late, man. Can you believe this traffic? Gosh. Get off of Twitter. That's not what it's for.
But, I mean, I guess you can use it for whatever you want. But I really, like I said, Drunk Quaid really does not need to, I just need to delete my Twitter. I don't get any feedback on it hardly anyways. By the way, if you guys are listening to this podcast and my Twitter is still active, which it probably is going to be because I'm great at procrastinating, check it out. It's at Quaid Things Podcast. It's fun.
Mine is at John Young TX Music.
Right, because
you never know what I'm going to write on there.
Well, because there's the other John Young too. Yeah. I tried to show a friend of mine. Shout out to my homegirl Pamela. Tried to show her some of your music. Probably a month ago. Well, whenever American Aquarium was at the Statler in Dallas, so it was probably like 3 weeks ago, a mm-hmm. month ago, something like that. I was trying to show her some of your music there, but it kept pulling up the white rapper John Young.
Yeah.
So, how many times have you run into that?
A bunch. Yeah. So. I started making music in 96, but I always had band names up until about 2006, 5, 6, somewhere in there. And that's when I started going by my name. Well, white rapper John Young started rapping in 2001 as John Young. So he's kind of got a head start on me media-wise. And if you do a Google search, it used to just be all him. And mm-hmm. luckily in these years that I've been working and as hard as I've been working, I'm starting to get pictures at the top of that image search.
Nice.
But it's still primarily him. He just has a humongous head start, and he's from Florida. He's from Orlando, I believe. So I think he's got a pretty good built-in audience as well.
Have you ever checked out any of his music?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What do you think? Obviously Florida John Young does not listen to my shit.
Yeah. He's a good rapper. And there's people that love him. You know, we've met people on the road that I'll tell them my name, and they're like, you're not John Young the rapper, are you? And, I mean, it'll change their attitude instantly, and it's amazing. But I don't know. He's done some really questionable things. There's like, we'd have to look up a song.
Okay.
Wonder, Can you play? You probably can't play songs on your podcast, can you?
I legally probably not.
Yeah.
But we'll just let it lie. If you guys want to listen to some great music, check out John Young. If you guys want to check out some rap music, check out John Young.
Yep.
But speaking of playing music and stuff, like different shows. I remember I came over to your house about this time last year. I came over and sat down on your couch, and you were like, "You have to watch this DVD," and. It was Pink Floyd at the Coliseum at Pompeii, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Dude, I still think about that at like that DVD. Like it's a
really cool DVD.
Fuck it. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Live at Pompeii.
Live at Pompeii.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, dude. That thing blew me away.
Yeah, it's a really crazy video.
I mean, I've always liked Pink Floyd. I've never been like a... I've never owned a Pink Floyd t-shirt. I'm also not one of those guys that's just going to have a Pink Floyd t-shirt. Like, I would want... Every band shirt I have, I've seen the band.
Yeah.
I don't have a Zeppelin shirt because I've never seen Zeppelin.
Right.
Stuff like that. But God, I want to go there. I want to do that. That needs to happen again with the remaining
David Gilmour
members.
David Gilmour did one. Well, there's only two remaining members three that really...
Because the keyboardist died.
Yeah, keyboardist died. So really the problem is that David Gilmour and Roger Waters don't talk anymore. They're not friendly at all.
How did that happen?
It happened in the 80s. That's the Wall was the last straw. It destroyed the group. They went their separate ways. And then they came back in like late 80s without Roger Waters, the bass player and lyricist. And then the only time they ever got back together was for that Live 8 in like 2007, I believe.
I want to say I remember seeing something about that back then, but yeah. I can't recall.
It was a once in a lifetime event, and me and a buddy of mine actually really worked on trying to go. We were going to save some money. We had our passports, and we were trying to go, and it just did not happen.
So would you say Pink Floyd's one of your favorite groups?
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite group? Because I've had people ask me that too. Like, I just did a podcast with my buddy Andrew Quinn, who's a photographer. If you guys haven't listened to that one yet, check it out. And he asked me who my favorite songwriter was. That was a fucking shit show. Because
hard.
It is hard. But so Pink Floyd's definitely in your top five, you'd say.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah. Huge influence. I love about Pink Floyd is it's not predictable. Their structures of their songs are just brilliant. They're just really well written. And then just the topics, like the whole album for The Wall, it coincides with being an adolescent and growing up and feeling ostracized for being different.
Mm-hmm. And the angst.
All that angst exists in that record. And it's one of those albums that, like, it's a really, really powerful record. And it came out as a double album, back in 79. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing, but all their albums are really good. But that one in particular was the one that I got originally before I got into anything else. Was I got a disc copy of The Wall and just wore it out. It was awesome.
So was that the first album you ever spent your own money on?
No, that was a Garth Brooks record.
Fuck yes. So the first Garth Brooks record, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in Stephenville, Texas, which is a
it's the
self-proclaimed cowboy capital of the world. And so I grew up as a cowboy and wore Wranglers and a cowboy hat and tucked in shirts and really was into horses and all of that jazz. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't anyone bigger than Garth Brooks at that point. It was kind of a phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, he still is a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him a couple of years ago there in Lubbock, and it was like, oh, we're doing two shows, and it turned into like six because it'd sell out within minutes.
It's amazing.
I don't know. My homegirl Allie, shout out to Allison Shell. She does all of she does all the writing for the podcast. So like when you guys read the whole, this week Quaid's over here, blah, 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 blah. That's Allie. She is awesome. She's my number one give back of feedback. Make sure that she tells me when I do dumb shit and how not to do it again. But her employer got her and I tickets to go see one of those Garth Brooks shows. I mean, they weren't exactly nosebleeds, but they were they were decently far back, but they were still great seats.
Yeah.
And it was a cool show, man. It really was.
He's a real showman, for sure.
He is. Impeccable performer.
Yes.
So I think it would have been cool to see him back in the day when he had the fucking mechanical bulls that were flying through the air and shit. And
yeah. come flying out of the stage.
Yeah. I mean, he was really the first person in country and Western music to really do anything like that. I mean, before that you had, you know, all the drum risers and pyrotechnics and all that shit, you know, associated with rock and roll and metal and all that. But then, I mean, Garth Brooks really just brought it over. It was like,
he did.
You know, you don't have to.
He had catwalks and things.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It's a show.
What do you think is one of the better performances you've ever seen by a band?
I've seen a lot of really good shows. As far as just, you know, I've seen a lot more rock shows than I have anything else. But probably the ones that stand out the most in my mind is I saw Tool on the Onoma Tour. Would have been 1996. And
I was in kindergarten.
That was a reunion arena in Dallas. And it was an amazing show. And I went with some friends, and we were still in high school. And I took my two friends, and I don't think they realized exactly what that show was going to be like. Mm-hmm. And really, that was one of the very first big live concerts that I'd ever been to by myself.
Yeah.
And so we get there, and we had to wait in line for like 5 hours. So we're sitting outside just kind of hanging out, and they start letting us in. And we go inside, and we are two people back from the front. That's far closest as you can get, which it's right on the rail. Like, oh man, we're going to see this right up front.
Yeah.
Well, so then the concert gets going. It's wild. But Tool comes out and the whole place just erupts into just craziness. And I look back and my buddy just disappeared into the crowd. I mean, it was like he got sucked into the crowd and everybody was just moshing and it was nuts. But it was just such a powerful experience, and they just had us eaten out of their hands. Tool was such an amazing band, and they really are still. But that at that point, that was back before the lead singer got angry at everybody and quit actually performing to the audience.
Right. Now he wears like riot. No, that's... Is he the one who's wearing like riot gear and shit during his shows? Or is
yes.
That, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was either him or the guy from Rage Against the Machines. I get those guys mixed up sometimes. Right. And I can't even think of their names right now. I swear I haven't even had anything to drink today. I'm actually not drinking for a while. So
awesome.
Yeah. Number one, I don't need to spend the money, but it is what it is. But yeah, I listened to, he did a podcast with Joe Rogan about a year and a half ago, I guess. And he was talking about some weird shit on there, man.
Yeah.
It's like...
Oh, yeah. He's a real intense dude. Mm-hmm. There's a video of him...
he's like a huge conspiracist now on a whole bunch of shit.
There's a video of him a few years back, and it's at a live concert, and some drunk guy wandered onto stage and was just standing up there. And Maynard is like...
Maynard, that's right.
He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows real martial arts. He wrapped this guy up in a jiu-jitsu move and... like had his arm around his throat and sang the rest of the song with him like tied up in a lock. It was the craziest thing. Yeah. If go to your YouTube and go watch that sometime because it's unbelievable. And this poor guy, when he gets up, he looks so dazed.
Like, yeah. Well, he probably choked him the fuck out.
I think he choked him out. Yeah. I think he choked him out. Honestly, it's almost hard to watch. Cause it's just like, holy shit. That's a little excessive, Maynard, but he wanted to make a lesson out of him, you know.
There's not a lot of people hopping on the fucking stage during Tool concerts.
No, I'd be terrified to get on that stage with them. He's a hardcore dude.
Fuck yeah. I don't know, what's one of the cooler fights you've seen in a bar in person? Because you've been playing out in bars and clubs for forever. Or not forever, but you know.
Yeah,
what I mean.
Forever. It seems like that. But one of the craziest was this is back in the old Bostock days. They used to have these mugs that looked like grenades. And they had like little pitted glass. Mm-hmm. And they were just a mug with a little handle on the side. And then it was pitted glass on the side. And I mean, when I say that, it kind of almost looked like a pineapple.
Yeah.
You know? So it used to be they had Tuesday nights up there. I'm thinking, can't remember if we were playing or not. But this was pretty horrific when this... man was flirting with a girl and she was with someone and that guy came and sat back down. Well, this guy got his feelings hurt and took that mug up the backside of that dude's head. And at the time...
You could kill somebody.
Oh, it was insane. And there was an off-duty cop in there and the bouncer was training, I believe, for MMA. And no shit, it got wild. And it was one of those moments where it was like, it all happened so slowly, but then so fast. You're like, holy smokes. I watched his hand, you know, coming back around with that full, and the beard is slung all over us. So we're all just standing there like, holy shit. Jeez. And this dude takes it to the back of the head, goes to his knees, and then gets back up. And it's like, it was on at that point. It was silly, and he's bleeding out the back of his head. It was wild.
Fucking A. I've taken some hard knocks to the head, man, but I haven't had anything. I haven't had any glass broke over my head.
I'll tell you this.
That would be hard.
It made the worst thunking sound I've ever heard in my life.
I can't even fathom it. I'm trying to put the sound together in my head, like breaking glass, the sound of somebody's head just getting just fucking walloped. And I've heard both of these sounds. Together, it's not making a noise I can hear.
Yeah, it was a thumb, for sure. It was rough.
I kind of wish I'd have seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, I take that back. I do wish I'd have seen it.
The rest of us were all just sitting in the bar like, holy shit. Because it all happened just right there in front of everybody. It was crazy.
Fuck. That is crazy. So, okay, Lou, I've only got one question that I ask everybody in every podcast other than how the hell are you. But what is the craziest road story you have? Either something that you've done or the bandmates have done. Just like what are the craziest things that has happened to you whilst on the road?
On the road? Well, I mean, most of those stories you probably can't tell.
Well, okay. Too crazy. That's what I mean, though. It's like the ones you don't, things that aren't going to get you put in jail.
just as far as like crazy times. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. I've seen so many crazy things here and there. We pulled up to a bar out in West Texas one time, and we started loading in. And I'm not going to mention the name of the bar just because it's probably not a good idea. But we got there, and the police were searching the bar, like going through the whole place.
Oh, shit.
And apparently, the owners had some pretty bad run-ins with the law. It was a real intense time, but we were trying to unload, and we're just all like, holy shit. They were just searching the whole club.
Jesus. You know? And y'all are just like, oh, I just need to get my amp up here.
Yeah.
Does anybody got a mic stand?
Just go hang out by the van, guys. This is intense.
Yeah, let's go get some wings. We'll be back in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Ooh, wings sounds good.
Yeah, wings do sound good. Yeah, but we've seen a lot of other crazy stuff. One time we were playing up in Dallas, and I walked outside, and there was a horse tied to the back of this club.
Yeah.
This was in McKinney, actually. But I thought that was pretty funny. Some dude had ridden his horse up to come watch the concert.
Did you see the video of that dude who rode his horse into blue light the other day?
I did, yeah. That's wild.
I was there. It was fucking crazy. It was
cause did they tell him he could, or was it, did he just do it and they said, get out of here?
Dude, I've been on the back patio. You know, that's kind of where I hang out when I'm at blue light. I was back there playing some rings and smoking cigarettes, and I wanted to get a drink at Blue Light, but I wanted to go through Tom's and see, because there's a girl I was there to kind of, we're not there to see, but there's a girl that I was seeing-ish. I don't know. So, but I knew she was in Tom's. I was going to grab her, and then we were going to go into Blue Light and catch a drink. And I walked out the front of Tom's about the time that dude comes up the stairs.
Oh, wow.
Or comes up off the curb, you know what I mean, up onto the sidewalk, and then just rides it into the bar and turns around and rides it back out. And I'm just like, I saw that.
That's hilarious.
Like, if I would have been 5 minutes, or you know, 3 minutes behind, I'd have missed the whole damn thing.
I just wonder what would have happened if that horse would have lost its mind.
Dude, I couldn't imagine.
That would be terrible.
That would suck. I mean, for the horse and rider, for sure. Of course, anybody that's
that guy must have just really trusted that horse.
Yeah, that horse is dog broke for sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's just crazy. I'm surprised it happened, honestly.
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh, I know who was working door, but I don't know anything about the goings ons or what all, but if I was working door, I don't think I'd let the guy in.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Pretty intense.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Of course, the last, you know, some little college girl gets kicked in the leg by a horse or something.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never know. Horses, I've been around horses that were like some of the most just, you know, just broke horses that you've ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them in the wrong spot, and they can come unglued.
Yeah.
And all it takes is just 1 second to happen.
Well, you've seen all the fucking memes and shit of, you know, the horse is like, oh, fucking, you know, all this other stuff happens, a bag blowing in the wind, and the horse freaks out, you know, shit like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. I don't know. It's one of those deals. But, I don't know, I had something I was going to go off of that. My brain skipped out. happens. Does. But of course, you know, you had the dangle forever.
Yeah.
Is the John Young, for those of you who don't know, John had, are you growing it back?
No.
Oh, come on.
I just haven't cut my hair in a while.
Sad. But John had like the greatest trademark hair ever, in my opinion. And I want to hear the story of how the dangle came to be. I know the dangle is no longer here, RIP dangle, but I want to know.
It started off as a haircut, and then we just kept leaving it long. So there's not really any good parts of the story, except I just wanted to do something different. Did something, and you know, it's every once in a while you just try to do something a little different to differentiate yourself from everyone else. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like that was my angle, but I got tired of it.
So the dangle wasn't the angle?
Dangle wasn't the angle.
Sad. Just sad.
Plus, it turned into its own little thing. Like, it had its own Facebook page.
Yeah.
So, I mean, which is funny.
Didn't Peaches build that, or who built it?
I have no idea. I never found out who built that. It was through Facebook. It was like a page.
Will the real John Young's dangle owner please stand up?
Yeah. If you're out there, you did a good job.
Right. This is for fun. We'd like to know. In fact, whoever it is, I want them on the podcast.
Now I did do some. I sent them some pictures, but I still don't know who did it either.
I guarantee you it's somebody close. Like, yeah. Somebody that, you know.
It would have to be.
It would have to be like.
It has Buck Fuffalo written all over it to me, but.
I was thinking Mike Stanley, but yeah.
Yeah. It was funny, but I'm past that point in my life now.
So what do you think the next trademark thing is going to be?
I've got a new look right now that's pretty good.
I'm digging the new frames.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. My stage get up is a little bit more snazzy these days. Ah. Been going with a collared shirt and a vest and a real nice put together look. And it's got songwriter written all over it, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was going for, was something, because I dressed in... you know, my denim shirt for forever.
Mm-hmm.
And really the reason I did the denim shirt was kind of a statement. Just, it was more of a working man type uniform. And it was something that my father and my grandfather both wore,
mm-hmm.
like pretty regularly. So I like the idea of the work shirt. It went along with the relic theme. I think that's, some people don't realize how far my themes go sometimes as far as what I'm into and what I'm trying to portray.
Yeah.
With my look as it pertains to the records and stuff. But it's been a lot of fun. Had a really good time.
Hell yeah. Are you working on anything new right now?
Yeah, I'm working on new material, just trying to get it all finished up. Probably got 8 songs right now that I've got where I really am excited about them. And then I'm going to try to release another full length. We'll go into the studio, I'm hoping, end of this year, beginning of next.
Hell yeah. Where you wanting to go in?
Well, I mean, haven't gone wrong with Melody Mountain Studios.
Dude.
They do an amazing job.
Dude, they do. Shout out to Josh and Ben, man. Of course, I've had Ben on the podcast as well. But, dude, I would go ahead and say that a third probably of the artists that I've talked to have either done work or have mentioned Melody Mountain Studios, man. I think it's crazy how they're just I'm not going to say taken over, but it's where you need to be.
Well, they've done a good job. They made good records.
They do.
That speaks volumes.
Mm-hmm. Who else is out there? Because I know it's not just Josh and Ben.
That runs it now, or?
Yeah, because I mean, when Josh and Ben are on the road, I was talking with Ben the other day, and he told me who, but essentially they've got another guy out there that's kind of just doing some work, like doing work while they're gone.
I have no clue.
I can't remember who.
I haven't been out there in a good while.
My brain does not work the way it should.
Yeah.
That's my own fault. But I'm just trying to remember who. I don't know, with you being here in Stephenville, I figured you may have an idea.
Yeah. I don't.
Well,
I love those guys. We're good friends. And, you know, me and Ben and Josh have made both of my records.
Mm-hmm.
And they made them really good albums. Very excited about working on the third one. You know, I've been kind of... looking at some other places too, but really just for what that studio is and how close it is to where I live, and working with Ben and Josh, it's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, because I mean, you've been playing shows and hanging out with those dudes since they came to Stephenville.
Yeah,
pretty much, right?
Yeah, Would it be possible to pause, me go run an errand and come back and then start it up again?
Yeah.
Edit out that spot?
Yeah, we'll just do this at 2-for. I had to do that with Shea Abishire. So
yeah, I gotta run, go get my dog real fast.
Hell yeah, let's go get the dog. John Young on the Quaid Things Podcast, part 2, coming at you. And we're back with a second part here on the Quaid Things Podcast.
Part two
with my good dude, John Young. We went and got Molly the poodle from the groomer up yonder.
The dog salon.
The dog salon. It was a good time.
It was. Yeah. It's good to have her back.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome back, Molly.
Welcome back, Molly. I was telling John last time, or not the last time I saw her, but she's got a thing about having her ears touched. Molly does. And, I did not know this, and she has big, like, poofy, fluffy, beautiful ears, and my pinky got bit. She laughed about it.
For those of you that are listening and can't see this dog, she is a Maltese poodle. So you can just imagine the fluffiness.
There's a lot of fluffy, but it's all right. I don't like my hair being touched much either, unless she's really pretty.
Little dogs can be kind of angry, though.
Do you think it's a legit Napoleon complex, or what do you think it is?
It's just a poodle thing. Growing up, my mom always raised poodles. She had, I think, 3 when we were kids, kind of growing up.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 or 3. But those dogs are just so loyal to their owner, and everyone else can kind of just go fuck themselves, you know?
Yeah.
It's really interesting how that
works. Isn't that kind of the dog you want, though?
Yeah, it's a really good dog. Chihuahuas are that same way, too. But poodles, and the older they get, the more temperamental they get, and they start, like, getting snappy.
Yeah, and how old is Molly now?
Jeez, she's probably like 8 or 9.
No spring chicken. And then, of course, you got Otis. He's my favorite.
Yeah, he's the best dog. He's a Corgi Black Lab mix, or as we like to call him, a Black Lorgi.
A Black Lorgi.
Yeah.
Sounds like a reign of orc in the Lord of the Rings. Oh, no, the Black Lorgis. I can see it now.
Yeah.
So, but what have you been watching on the Netflix or the Hulu recently? Because you're always watching cool movies and cool series. Like, every time I come over here, you're showing me something new, something cool. You're kind of a cinephile, really.
I enjoy movies and television. I like entertainment, visual entertainment. It's fun.
It is.
But I also like to listen to podcasts, too. And here lately, we get into a show called Better Things, which is a Louis C.K. spinoff from his show.
Mm-hmm.
It was the lady from that show, the comedian. And it's actually a really funny show. Funny enough, she was involved with his very first pilot that he had for HBO, his very first show that Louis C.K. ever had, which was called Lucky Louie. Hmm. And this lady played his wife. And
okay.
Now she's got her own show, and it's her raising her 3 daughters.
Interesting.
It's pretty funny. It's an FX show.
I have to check that out.
Yeah. And then Goliath, which has got Billy Bob Thornton in it.
And that's on...
Amazon
Prime, that's right. Huh, I saw I was watching Hulu last night and saw an ad for it's Lost in London or some shit like that. It's got Woody Harrelson and Willie Nelson and somebody else in it.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds wild.
I don't know. I was watching it a little bit. I was watching some Bob's Burgers before I passed out last night.
I love Bob's Burgers.
I do, too. That's a... You know, I got some shit a couple of weeks ago from somebody who was like, you just watch those cartoons all the time? I'm like, yeah, that's like my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, but the new season of BoJack Horseman comes out in a couple of weeks. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Those are really good.
Dude, it's a lot more, because people think it's just cartoons.
No, like, it's pretty heavy duty. The subject matter is not for the faint of heart.
Not at all.
There's a lot of, like, real life stuff that they put in that cartoon.
Yeah, it's fucking
pretty
crazy.
Pretty,
like, when especially when he starts, like, talking on it, like, his mom with the Alzheimer's, and then, like, his mom's mom had a fucking lobotomy, and, like, it really shows how deep
was intense.
It was
so dark.
It was perfectly dark, though, in a way. You know, I don't know. So what else have you been watching? Like, you haven't started Disenchanted yet.
No, I haven't started Disenchanted yet. I've honestly...
That one's good. I've already finished
it. I've honestly been on a wrestling kick here lately.
Like WWE?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like I've been watching all the old 80s and 90s matches. It's pretty intense.
Okay.
I enjoy it. It's kind of like it's Art Portillo is the one that kind of got me into it back originally. Mm-hmm. We started off, I found a DVD at a truck stop of WrestleMania 3. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed it. But here lately, I've just been going back and watching some of those old matches. It's a lot of fun. It was more or less, it was kind of a way to like not think about anything. Just kind of to zone out.
Yeah. I was a wrestling fan when I was a kid. Sting was my dude.
Yeah.
But I haven't. I don't know. I started watching boxing and MMA, and it was like the this is so much better.
Oh yeah, it's just theater. I mean, that's all it is.
Right.
But it's kind of fun to watch them work a crowd, and it's a entertaining.
Did you see Ronda Rousey's in the WWE now?
I heard that. That's kind of wild. That'd be good, though.
I mean, she only lost two fights, and then she's like, oh, I'm going to quit. I mean, granted, Holly Holm kicked her fucking face in, which was beautiful. And then she was just too fucking scared when she fought Amanda Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really all it was. I don't know. I'd like to see. I wish Ronda would have stayed in MMA.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't really follow fighting very much.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't follow wrestling very much. Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, I don't even...
I don't follow new wrestling. I just like a very specific time period.
Who is your favorite wrestler in this specific time period?
I like Jake the Snake Roberts. He's awesome.
Jake the Snake.
He works the audience psychology probably the best out of any of them, and he's actually a good wrestler. And the DDT is pretty hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool move.
Did you ever see that show Lucas Brothers Moving Company? Mm-hmm. The Jake the Snake was, or his character was on there quite a bit, because he's been dead for a while, right?
No, he's still alive.
Is he? Mm-hmm. I thought he was dead.
No, he's alive. In fact, they did a Netflix movie on him called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, where they went and found him. And Diamond Dallas Page rehabilitated him and got him going again.
Yeah, because he does that fucking Diamond Dallas Page yoga.
Yes.
Dude, I've honestly thought about trying some of that shit. Because, you know, I fucked my neck up hard a few years ago. And, you know, I mean, I've shown you some before and after pictures. Like, I'm about 40 pounds-ish less than what I used to weigh.
Mm.
You know? I think it'd be cool to... I mean, I'd have no desire to get back in literal fighting shape, but...
Right.
Just to not be fucking sore all the time.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
That'd be pretty fucking interesting, man.
Yeah.
Here, I'll edit this out. This part out.
Okay.
Yeah. Or will I? Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
I'm always like, I don't give a shit. All right, and Mark. But for real, though, like, there's only, what, two seasons of Lucas Brothers Moving Company?
Yeah, like, there's only two.
There needs to be more.
That was part of that Saturday Night Domination, Animation Domination.
Yeah.
They ran for a while on Fox.
Mm-hmm. I think those guys are just taking way too many fucking mushrooms.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff on there.
Yeah.
To me,
it seemed like way too much mushrooms and way too much Coke, like, together.
I think some of those kind of cartoons are kind of what killed Adult Swim for me. I used to enjoy Adult
Swim. Like China, Illinois and shit.
Yeah, where it's like, they were just trying to be as weird as possible. You know, the Clown Hospital one?
Yeah, all the live-action ones, one with real people in them.
So strange.
Like, Mighty Boosh was cool, but that's British.
Right.
But they had a lot, like, that show with John C. Reilly, that Dr. Whoever, you know, he was a Dr. Brule, Steve Brule, or some shit like that. Like, I didn't like really any of their live-action shit.
Well, it's like
Rick
it's
and
like
Morty's dope.
There was an inside joke, and none of us were let in on it.
Yeah.
You know, and we're all just having to sit here like, okay, that's really not funny.
No, and you can't impair yourself enough to enjoy it.
No. But I'll tell you what, when Aqua Teen Hunger Force came out, I used to really like Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And
Aqua
it was
Teen
so goofy.
And Squidbillies.
Yeah, Squidbillies is a good one.
Mr. Pickles. Did you ever get into Mr. Pickles?
That one's a little hardcore. That's a really intense show.
Yeah,
but... a satanic dog.
I don't know. Okay, I don't like scary movies. Like, yeah. I cannot watch scary movies. I've told you that story. I'm not going to tell that one on the podcast. It's one of those deals, but, like, I can't watch fucking scary movies. They creep me the fuck out.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, satanic cartoons and shit. Like, that shit's funny to me. I dig it. You know, I can listen to, like, scary shit, but, like, a haunted house? Fuck you. You're going to take me to see the new Conjuring movie? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
so did you like Super Jail as well?
Not really.
That one was a very intense one as well.
See, I liked C-Lab 2021.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Fucking, you know, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. That's really one of the shows that kicked Adult Swim back on. And then, of course, then they had reruns of Futurama back in King of the Hill.
It was Family Guy that really kicked it off. Because what had happened was his Family Guy was on up until about 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And they got canceled. So
was it TBS or Fox? It was Fox.
Fox originally. So here's what happened. A bunch of us around at the time, they released a DVD, and one Christmas, everybody got this DVD.
Yeah.
It was the very first season of Family Guy. And I remember because my girlfriend at the time bought it for me for Christmas, was those first four seasons of Family Guy. And their DVD sales were outrageous. Like, it was huge. So they started airing it again on Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they had like the highest ratings that they had.
So Adult Swim's so like, far. We'll fund you to make new episodes.
So Adult Swim kind of kicked off the whole Family Guy movement again. And Fox, meanwhile, is sitting here watching this all go down. And they're like, wow, people really still like Family Guy. And so they were the ones that resurrected the series. And here we are 20 years later and it's still going.
Jesus.
It's crazy. But that's what happened. And really, that's what catapulted Adult Swim to like being something a little bit bigger. Because originally, Adult Swim had Space Ghost, Coast to Coast,
mm-hmm.
The Brack Show.
Harvey Birdman.
It was more or less, it was just kind
of... And then Toonami, they had all the anime stuff.
Yes.
Which I only really like two or three different anime shows. Like, I'm not really big into it.
Right. And originally, Adult Swim only came on Sunday nights. That was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved it to every night, and it kind of lost...
Kind of lost its luster, but
yeah,
and they started having better programming then,
right.
So it's kind of helped. But no, now like Rick and Morty is the fucking lifeblood of Adult Swim, which is you saw they got fucking renewed for like 73 more episodes or some shit like that. Like,
I don't think they're gonna make it. Apparently, they don't get along. Like Dan Harmon didn't get along with
Dustin Roiland.
Yeah, they don't agree on the direction that it needs to go.
Don't fucking jinx me on this shit, dog.
That's just what I heard. They were having a hard time making that last season.
No.
It's good. But I'll tell you this. It's hard to keep something fresh after about 4 years. That's when, if you really think about it, when you look back at series, like most of your great series at about season four or season five really start, you can feel it. Like it's not the same anymore. You lose the... They've made changes enough to make it like strategically pleasing to you.
Yeah.
And then when you start to look at those from afar, you realize that those little changes are kind of what, you know, maybe you liked about the show even.
Mm-hmm.
And you start getting all these little weird everything. I don't know. It's real hardcore. By about season five of The Office, like that's where you start losing me. Where it's like they rewrite Michael and then write him out of the show. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then all at once the show is just lost and just flailing around. And what are we watching anymore? It's just cameos. And that historically, it happens pretty regularly on television shows. You know what I mean?
Friends was a good example of that. Frasier.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I don't think, was as good after about season five or six.
I've only seen, I don't know, probably less than two dozen episodes of It's Always Sunny. And I don't know from what seasons. And it's not one I've like started and watched.
It's a really good show.
I should. Is it still on Netflix?
I don't know.
Fucking Netflix lost a lot of shit to Hulu.
Yeah.
Like you can't, like they had, Netflix had Family Guy and Archer and Futurama and like Cleveland Show, American Dad, all that shit was on there. And now it's all on Hulu.
Yeah, it is.
So, which is, I'm glad I got one of those. I haven't owned a TV set in years, and like I don't watch like TV, but I will find it on the internet and watch it, I guess. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Have you got to see any of the Sacha Baron Cohen? Seriously?
No, people keep fucking telling me I have to see this.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I haven't got to watch it either. Who is America?
What network is it on?
Showtime.
Yeah, I'm not going to see that until it hits another platform.
Yeah. I think that's the same way I am.
I keep hearing good shit, though.
Oh, well, the videos that I've seen are amazing.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
I've seen the one where they're wanting to, like, build a mosque in somewhere, Arizona.
Yeah.
Or I've seen that clip.
Yes, that one was intense. There's some really good ones. It looks like he talks to Dick Cheney.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And then Bernie Sanders in another.
Okay, that would be funny.
It's going to be pretty funny.
You know, I kind of liked Bernie Sanders. I'm not sure I would have ever voted for the guy, but I kind of liked him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty neat guy.
Yeah, but then he walked a bill at Triple J's in Lubbock.
Is he really?
Yeah. And, yeah, I kind of don't like the guy anymore.
Damn.
You know. This is what it is.
Yep. That's weird.
Weird.
Maybe he was getting mobbed.
I highly doubt it. There's not a lot of libs, as you would call them, in Lubbock, Texas.
Well, maybe he's getting mobbed on the other side. Like, people angry with him.
That wouldn't surprise me. It would, but it wouldn't.
Maybe he just wanted that waitress to feel the burn.
Yeah, that's it, because that comes out of her fucking check.
Yeah, that sucks.
That does suck. Word.
I don't know. I don't really like politicians.
I don't really like
politics. It's dangerous.
Yep.
And I've about decided in the position that I'm in, it's pretty tough to
have be a political.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a political statement a couple months back, and I regretted it, and I haven't made one since. So I'm just trying to stay ambiguous as to what I'm into and what I'm not, because honestly, in the end, it's not part of what I'm trying to sell to all of you.
Right. I don't know. I'm team human. I don't give a shit. I just be good, you know, fucking hug your mom, pet your dog. Don't be an asshole. That's kind of the mantra.
Sounds like a good tattoo.
Don't tempt me. I already have one dumb tattoo I need to cover up. It's not the first one I've had to do that, but, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, it does.
So, but speaking of, you get a new tattoo every year, right? For your you and Kim do for y'all's anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
That's dope, man. Where'd you get the newest one?
The newest one was underneath my portrait of John Lennon on my back.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, "All You Need Is Love," and Kim got "Love Is All You Need" on her back.
That's cool.
Yeah, so when we're standing next to each other, it completes the sentence. It completes the song. All you need is love. Love is all you need.
Hell yeah. And how long have you guys been married?
We got married in 2011, so it was 7 years this year, I believe.
Hell yeah.
It hadn't happened this year, so it'll be...
It will be
7 years in October.
Dude, congratulations,
man. Yeah, we got married on my birthday.
No, Kelly Knowles did that with his wife.
Really?
Yeah, he's like that way I'll never forget it.
Yeah, no, it's awesome because I thought there for a second, I was like, wedding anniversary. Oh yeah, I know that.
Right, because it's your birthday.
Yeah,
but I think it's crazy. Kelly Knowles and I have the same birthday, and that's
really
how, yeah, and that's how I figured it out.
I like Kelly Knowles.
He's a good dude. Yeah, shout out to my 40 Thieves dudes. Eventually, I'm gonna have to get a podcast done with them. I've been saying I will forever, but. It needs to
happen. They look like they're doing well.
They are, man. They are. They're a good group of dudes. They're killer musicians, and they just really vibe well, you know? I mean, they're just... I think they're the next big thing to come out of Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
I do see that, but that's also, like, that's what I want to see as well. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to be the next big thing out of Lubbock right now. You know?
They're great.
They're fucking awesome. If you guys haven't checked them out, 40 Thieves Music... of course, where can we find all of your stuff at, man? I mean, of course, the best way to do it is obviously go to a show and buy an album.
Right. Yeah, you can go to a show and buy an album from us, or you can go to iTunes, Amazon, Spotify has my stuff up there. Just make sure that you find John Young, Relic, or Ashes of Dreams of Fire. No H in John. And you can actually, you can buy it off my website, too, which is www.thejohnyoung.com. And you'll see the music page. I've got most of the tracks for sale for 99 cents a track, but there's three free tracks on there that are my radio singles. So if you just want those tracks, go help yourself.
Fucking A. And your newest radio single right now is the things I've seen, right?
That's correct.
Dude, I've dug that song for fucking ever. I remember when I was still doing West Texas Live, I had you on a show and you played that jam. And I can't remember if I've heard it before that, but that fucking time I heard that song that night, again, I don't know if it's the first time I heard it or not, but it was just, it kicked me right in the balls.
Awesome.
And it still does every time I hear it, man.
That's great. That's what it's supposed to do. It's a song about life, you know?
Yeah. So, and you had Kinsey and Garrett do your harmonies on that?
Well, we had a whole bunch of different people. Yeah. So, the very first harmony that you hear, which is, not many people have really asked about this, so I haven't shared too much, but that very first harmony is Randall King.
Okay.
And that's Drew Cattle Into the Heart of a Sunset. Mm-hmm. So I was that line was more related to a cowboy type person.
Yeah.
So I chose Randall and had him come and do that. The second time we have harmony vocals, it's I Saw My Newborn in the Arms of His Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I got Caitlin Butts and Kinsey Coppin to sing the harmony, kind of from the mother's perspective.
Yeah.
And that one turned out just beautiful. They both have gorgeous voices. So then on the third one, it was a very specific, special line, and I got lucky enough that we were recording when Rhymes and Vines was going on, so I got Mike McClure to sing that last one.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And it was really funny because I had these three sheets were put out, you know, on a table, so when these people got there, I'd have the part that I wanted them to sing, and then that would be highlighted. The lyrics were all on the sheet, and I just highlighted what lyrics so that they would know what I was saying, mm-hmm. so that we could all be on the same, you know, sound and have the words come out correctly.
Yeah.
So I handed Mike McClure, I Saw an Old Man in the Mirror This Morning. His face was as cold as stone. Oh, how can this be? That old man is me. Oh, the things I have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me, and he's like, this is a joke? I go, nope. And he went in there and he cut it in like two takes and just killed it. And there's this one note at the very end of that song that you'll hear Mike just belt out this like full voice, really like pretty big, almost scream. And it's really powerful. But he did that in one take. And that was pretty impressive.
Well, it's fucking McClure.
It's McClure. Yeah, I was lucky to get to work with him. Worked out perfectly.
Hell yeah. I remembered Kinsey and I wanted to remember Randall. I don't know why I thought Garrett was on there. But yeah, I remember you telling me about all the different people you'd had on, you know, do harmonies on that track. I wanted to bring it up.
It almost was Adam, Courtney Patton and Jason Eady. I was in talks mm-hmm. with them, but it just didn't work out. That would have, I can't imagine what that would have sounded like. It probably would have been a whole different thing.
I think McClure's the right one there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he really fit that part. He really did. He's a neat guy.
He is, man. I've had him on the podcast. So, and shout out to him and Boo Hatch Studio up there, man, in fucking Okie Land.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you played in Oklahoma?
Been about a month and a half, and I was just doing a radio tour up there.
I don't.
It's good times.
Have are you going to go out and check out the new station in Lubbock for a radio tour?
Yeah.
Should,
yeah. Is that where David is now?
Yeah, shout out to my boy Wild. Awesome. The station that he's a part of up there now.
What is it called?
93.1 Texas FM or something like that.
Cool. I'll have to go check that out. Yeah.
I think it's gonna be pretty cool, man. I've heard a little bit of it just from people sending me recordings. I know they've got an app, but I have not had time to. Well, I've had time. I just haven't put it on my phone yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm headed back to Lubbock for a couple of days. I got some things I got to handle up there, and so I'm definitely gonna tune into that while I'm in town.
Yeah, see what it's all about.
Yeah, for sure. I've already heard that the music selection is great, which
that's awesome.
It's gonna be. It's fucking wild.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, he's got a good taste of music.
He does, man. I'm blessed as fuck to know the guy and got to work with him and
good dude.
Yeah.
Good dude. Also a very large individual.
Yes. Tall guys unite, man.
Yeah. We always end up in the same part of the bar. I look up and I'll be standing next to three people that are like 6'6". It's wild.
It's crazy, dude, how it all works out that way. And then I wonder if it's the same with short people. I don't know, I'm not short. Of course I'm not tall either. Or not like tall.
You're pretty tall.
I'm like 6'3".
Yeah?
But...
That's pretty tall.
Yeah.
You were hanging out with a bunch of people that were 5'5".
True. Okay, you got a point there. I don't know. I guess it's because, you know, dudes like you and Big Lance and Wild, you know, that are, you know, like Petey, you know, that are taller and bigger and, you know, so no, I'm not tall. They're tall.
Well, you so know. Some big people.
Indeed.
Yeah. Always ends up being a good time, man.
It does, man. Fucking, I'm ready to go back to Lubbock and hang out for a couple days.
Yeah, I'm ready to get back up there, too.
Get away from the fucking humidity.
We haven't played up there in a little while. It's about time.
Word. Get you a blue light gig.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we need to go.
It's that time.
It's that time.
Word.
I'm excited for you guys to hear the new band.
Dude, I'm excited really for good. It, too.
There, it's a whole different vibe.
You should send me a clip later or something.
Yeah, I will.
I know.
Try to find something where I can show you what they're all about. They're good, though.
Hell yeah.
It's been fun. Kind of a new take on things. It's always fun to have fresh perspective.
It is indeed, man. Well, shit. You want to go outside and have a cigarette? Call it?
Let's do it.
Hell yeah. Hey, thank you so much for being on the podcast, brother. I love you. This has Absolutely. Been a long time coming.
Yeah.
I know we were actually supposed to do one about a year ago.
Yeah.
And here we are. I'm great at procrastinating, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah.
It is well, it's good. Yeah, it's good hanging out with you, buddy.
Hell yeah, good to see you too, man.
All right.
Well, this has been another episode of the Quaid Things Podcast. Thank you guys so much. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors. We've got Texas Gypsy Shirts, keeping it fly with the pearl snaps. You can check them out. He has an eBay store. Check him out on Instagram. They're everywhere, man. He does pop-ups and stuff like that. But just check out the Instagram page. Check out the website. Check out the eBay store. Want to give a shout-out to Shake Music Zine. They're fucking killing it with their stuff, man. Doing great live videos with artists, doing stuff like that. They're actually working on some comedy stuff right now. I wish I had more details on it, but I really don't. I've forgotten them. Sorry, DJ. But shout-out to them for doing what they do in this, for the podcast as well. Thank you to Allison Shell for doing all my write-ups. Yeah, it's been another episode of the Quaid Things Podcast. Hug your mom, pet your dog, don't be an asshole. We'll catch you guys next week.